This morning we continue with the first seal, segment number 6, on Revelation chapter 6, 1 and 2. We are still at the point of background material because Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 19 deal with a special period in human history which is still in the future and which very specifically deals with the Jewish people in the time of their greatest judgment and suffering at the hand of God and of the judgment upon the Gentile world. The angel Gabriel, as a result of Daniel's prayer, informed the prophet that the Jewish nation faced a special cycle of 490 years of history. We have that in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks to be determined upon the Jewish people. These 70 weeks are 70 weeks of years. The timetable specifically, we are told, applies to thy people and upon thy holy city, and thus refers only to the Jewish nation. It does not refer to the Gentiles. It does not refer to the church. Daniel 9:24 says that this timetable applies to thy people, who were Daniel's people, the Jewish people, and upon thy holy city. What is Daniel's holy city? Not Chicago, not Dallas, not even Los Angeles, Jerusalem. That's his holy city. So it applies very specifically to the Jewish people, to the city of Jerusalem. The Hebrew language here does not say 70 weeks in Daniel 9:24. It says 77s. Therefore, we must observe that the text does not tell us sevens of what? Sevens of days, sevens of weeks, sevens of months, sevens of years. It just says a series of 70 segments of seven are going to complete God's dealing with the Jewish people. Only sevens of years can, of course, literally fulfill the subsequent Jewish history that we do know, and so it indicates to us that this is the time unit that is intended. 490 days would, of course, have fulfilled very little. Nothing happened in that time. But in 490 years, the things that were predicted in this section of Daniel's timetable precisely historically took place. So therefore, history demonstrates to us that the sevens are sevens of years. Daniel, of course, had been thinking in terms of years. He was praying about 70 years of captivity ending. And so it is quite logical that God continues talking to him concerning years, but now a period of 70 sevens of years. The Jewish method of reckoning time is something that you need to take into account. In the Jewish calendar, every month is 30 days, and every year has those 12 months of 30 days, so that a Jewish year was 360 days. And Daniel, when he speaks about a week of years, is talking about a week of 360 day years. Those are prophetic years. What the Jews did was like we do in leap year. 1984 is leap year, so this year you get an extra day in February to bring the calendar back in line with sun time. What the Jews did was periodically they would throw in a year that had 13 months, and then they get the calendar back in line with sun time again. But the rest of the time, every month had 30 days, and every year had 360 days in it. And we're going to see that that's important for you to know when we get to some of these figures. So the timetable of Jewish history revealed to Daniel is 490 prophetic years of 360 days each. And Daniel 9:24 says that this period is determined or decreed by God. It's an inevitable event. Therefore, it is very important for us as students of the Word of God to be interested in how it applies. It's an inevitable decree of God. It is an important event. The expectation was there because the Davidic covenant had been spoken of. Now the termination of the 70-year captivity was of interest to Daniel. And now God begins speaking to Daniel not only in terms of the termination of that captivity, but in terms of the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. which of course Daniel also knew. And so verse 24, Daniel 9:24, we've already looked at. There we have found that during the 490 years, six major objectives were to be achieved by God. They were to finish the transgression, that is to end the Jewish violation of the Mosaic law and their apostasy from that law, to make an end of sins, to terminate the Jews' national rejection of their Messiah, Jesus Christ, the great sin of Israel, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to make payment for the sins of the world, the sins of the Jewish people by Jesus Christ, and to reconcile the Jews to God's standard of absolute righteousness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to bring in the kingdom of God, with God Himself ruling upon this earth in perfect justice, to seal up the vision and prophecy, that is the fulfillment of all the divine promises to the Jews, some of which to this day, of course, have not still been fulfilled, and most important, perhaps, to anoint the Most Holy, that is to set up the Holy of Holies in the restored Jewish temple of the millennium. The Holy of Holies was the innermost room of the temple in which God Himself resided, where the Ark of the Covenant rested, on top of which was the mercy seat, where the priest once a year went to sprinkle the blood of animals as a symbol of the blood atonement which the Messiah Savior was to bring for Israel. The Holy of Holies was the inner sanctum of the temple, was the place where man made his contact with God. And that is why the curtain that separated that room from the holy room in front of it, that curtain was ripped when Jesus Christ died, torn open, because it symbolized that now we could go directly as our own priests on the basis of the death of Christ into the presence of a holy God, and we would not be struck dead. The 490 years then would complete all of these six objectives. They have not been realized to this day. The 490 years would begin with King Artaxerxes in 445 BC when he gave a decree to Nehemiah to rebuild the city and the walls of Jerusalem. This was on March the 14th, 445 BC. The 490 years would terminate in the establishment on earth of the Messianic kingdom promised to King David, and which the angel Gabriel referred to when he spoke to Mary. This period of 490 years would be divided, we found, into three segments. First, and this is told us in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, there would be a period of 49 years. Jerusalem would be cleaned up and rebuilt with its moat and its walls. There would then follow a period of 434 years. This would go from the rebuilding of Jerusalem and its wall to the national official rejection of Jesus Christ on Palm Sunday, April 6, about 30 or 32 A.D. Fluctuation of some debate of the specific year in terms of our calendar. But on April 6, about between 30 and 32 A.D., that period of time was brought to an end. At that point, after that 434 years, the Messiah was cut off, which Hebrew terms means he would receive a violent death and he would be killed. 69 years had been fulfilled at that point. All that Messiah, the ruler, was entitled to as king of the Jews under the Davidic covenant, we are told, would be cut off from him. He would be denied those rights at the end of that 69th week. Jesus Christ thus went from the adulation of the crowd at his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on what we call Palm Sunday to crucifixion on the cross later that same week. Now, this national rejection of Jesus Christ as the King and Messiah of the Jews stopped the prophetic clock from ticking off the remainder of the 490 years which God had ordained for Israel. That remainder was 7 years. This period has still been unfulfilled to this day. It is these 7 years which are described in Revelation chapter 6 through 19, the era we call the tribulation. Now, I will not weary you with the meanderings, the mental meanderings, of which there are an innumerable number that theologians and Bible students, particularly the Amils, make in trying to handle this seventh week. Many of them must admit that the first 69 weeks absolutely were literal years. They were fulfilled historically. We can see that. We can look back. There's no problem with that. But when they come to the seventh year, which obviously has not been fulfilled, what they do with it is just beyond imagination, because they do not want the seventh year to be seven literal years still to be fulfilled in the future, because that would imply that indeed the church and Israel are something totally different, and their whole system would crash to the ground. So we're going to treat the thing the way it should be treated, literally. These 7 years are just as literal as the previous 69. That's the only proper, consistent method of interpretation. However, they have not been fulfilled. Well, the prophetic clock will fulfill them in time. The clock will begin ticking these 7 years off after the rapture of the church. The whole church age of almost 2,000 years was inserted between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel's timetable. The Old Testament prophets didn't know that was going to happen. Nobody knew that was going to happen. The church is called a mystery, which means that it was a secret, that God had not revealed it. Nobody knew that the 69th week was going to be separated from the 70th week, and that God was going to bring something marvelously different. He was going to create a royal family known as the body of Christ, the church of which we are a part this day. After the close of the 69th week, or the 483 years, when Jesus Christ was rejected as the Messiah, the King of the Jews, he was murdered on the cross. After the 69th week. Jesus was murdered after the 69th week was over. This national rejection of the Son resulted in his death as the Lamb of God for the sins of the world. John 1:29 tells us how John the Baptizer presented Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. What would have happened if the Jews had had the good sense to believe the Scriptures and to believe the evidence of the credentials of Jesus Christ? They were very clear. He had everything to identify him as the Messiah. He had everything that clearly marked him as the one who had come to fulfill the Davidic covenant and the promise of a king to sit forever on that throne. What if they had accepted him and not murdered him? What about our sins and the payment for the price of our evil? The Bible doesn't tell us, but we may conjecture that had the nation rallied to their Messiah, had they followed through with the attitude that they displayed on that triumphal entry Palm Sunday, then we may conclude that God the Father, in some other way, would have provided a situation whereby his Son would have died for the sins of the world. The penalty would have been paid by him in some other way. As it was in God's dealing, he used the rejection of the nation as the means to make the death which was inevitable, which was absolutely necessary to pay for our evil. So in some other way, God would have handled that death before setting up the millennial kingdom. In this section of Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 24 through verse 27, then we have some very important verses of Scripture. Without these verses, it would be very difficult to understand the book of the Revelation. So let's summarize it. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, looks at the prophecy of these 490 years as a whole. It presents it, tells certain things that are going to be executed in that time span. Then the next verse, 25, deals with the 69 weeks in particular. That period of 69 weeks is what is described in verse 25. Then, in verse 26, we have the details of the events that take place between the 69th and the 70th weeks. And that's very significant. Daniel 9:26 gives us the details about what's going on between the 69th and the 70th week. Verse 26 says, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood, and unto the end of war desolations are determined." This expression, "the people of the prince that shall come," refers to the Roman people and to the future Antichrist who will descend from that people. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. The Romans, in other words, here were predicted as the ones who would destroy Jerusalem and the temple. That happened in 70 AD. After the 69th week was over, and before the 70th week began, Jerusalem was destroyed. This happened almost 40 years after the death of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Up to this time, every week of years consecutively followed the next week. But when you get to the 69th, bingo, something happens. Suddenly, historically, things aren't clicking along anymore. That's our first major clue that there must be a separation between week 69 and week 70. It's an important point in God's timetable. It was 40 years before what verse 26 says was going to happen actually took place. It says, after the 62 weeks, after the 69 weeks, after 483 years. You know what after means? It means when they're over. When the 483 years were completed, then a people will descend upon Jerusalem and the temple and destroy it. Years after the death of Christ. So we've got a big piece of time in here that indicates to us that suddenly the weeks aren't consecutively moving along. The 69 weeks then were completed during the lifetime of the Messiah and before his crucifixion. This verse tells us that the destruction of Jerusalem was to be like a raging flood of water sweeping over it, and its end will come like a flood. That's what that means in verse 26. The end is going to be like a flood. And if you've ever seen someplace where a flood of water has come through, you'll understand this analogy. Years ago, we used to do some camping in the Smoky Mountain National Park, and there was a place on one of the trails where you could look up the hillside and see what had resulted out of a flash flood, a tremendous flood of water, a tremendous storm that had accumulated a huge amount of water at the top and it came gushing all the way down. You couldn't believe what that flood of water did to all the trees and to everything in its way. And you could see it for years, the devastation of the flood. Well, that's the point here, that when a flood goes through, it wrecks everything. The city of Jerusalem was ruined beyond anybody's imagination. The Romans literally tore it apart. And so it hit them like a flood. Furthermore, it says that wars and desolations would be facing the Jewish people to the end of the 490 years, and that's exactly true. War and desolation still faces even the restored nation of Israel to this day. So when you read Daniel 9, 25 and 26, we have clear historical fulfillment to refer to, and this fulfillment in great details. Now the 69 weeks of years completed then during the lifetime of the Messiah and before his crucifixion. Verse 25 in Daniel 9 indicates that the 69th week ends with Messiah the Prince, or the Anointed One, the Ruler. And know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem, the decree of Artaxerxes, unto the Messiah, that 69-week period, from the decree of Artaxerxes to rebuild Jerusalem to the arrival on the scene of the Messiah, is to be the 69 weeks. This term, the Messiah, the Prince, is a descriptive name of the person who is the terminal point of this 69 weeks. This name, of course, expresses the official mission of the deliverer promised to Israel, who is Jesus Christ, the final great prophet, high priest, and king of the Jews. So the name Messiah is used here, the Mashiach in Hebrew, because it is referring to all the functions of the promised deliverer of Israel. The term Prince, which is added to it, describes his supreme position among the Jews. Messiah the Prince, or the Anointed Ruler. So the end of the 69 weeks is the appearing of this Messiah ruler of Israel at his first coming. The 69-week period ended with the only time that Jesus Christ ever publicly presented himself as the Messiah ruler described here. The only time that Jesus Christ ever presented himself to the people of Israel as Messiah the Prince was one time in his whole ministry. And that was on that triumphal entry occasion when he came into Jerusalem to the cheers of the people. That was the only time when to the nation now, officially he presented himself as the Son of David who was to set up their kingdom. And so that triumphal entry on Palm Sunday marks the end of the 69 weeks. The terminal point was not the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That came after the end of the 69 weeks. It was when he presented himself as Messiah ruler. Daniel 9:26 says that the Messiah ruler is to be killed or to cut off after the 69 weeks. Notice 9:26, after the 62 weeks, after the 69 weeks, Messiah would be cut off, would be killed. So that in between the 69th and 70th week, Jesus Christ is crucified. How long after that would take place, Daniel didn't know. Daniel didn't know how long after the 69th week the Messiah would be cut off. It was very shortly thereafter we found, and also it was before the 70th week began. The death of the Messiah, the ruler, and the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple is described in Daniel 9:26. This takes place after the 69th week and before the 70th week. The two events are after the 62 week segment. The 7 week segment for rebuilding Jerusalem and the temple, plus the 62 week segment, which takes us down to Palm Sunday from March the 14th, 445 B.C. to April the 6th, 30 or 32 A.D. So Messiah is rejected by the Jewish nation after the 69th week, and this is closely associated then with the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. The prince that is referred to here in verse 26, the prince of the people that shall come, is the Antichrist. And we should identify him here in the book of Daniel. You'll find this man referred to in Daniel 7:8. So Daniel had a little inkling already concerning this individual from what God had told him previously. In Daniel 7:8, we have this description. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. He considered the 10 horns, representing 10 nations, joined in a confederacy of nations. And I saw among them a little horn, before which there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. This little horn of Daniel 7:8 is the Antichrist. And here's where we have our first indication that there will be on the earth scene, out of the nations descended from Rome, a confederacy of 10 nations, similar to the 10 nations of the European Economic Community that exists now, and that out of those nations will come a leader so powerful and so magnetic that he will be able to bring 3 of those nations under his control. He will pluck them up. And then, the scriptures tell us, the other 7 decide to join him. And he then becomes the ruler of the Western power structure. Not of the whole world, just of the Western power structure. There are 3 other power structures in the world at the time. In the East, Russia in the North, and the Arab world in the South, the Oriental world in the East. But in the middle of the tribulation period, in the middle of this last 7 years, when Russia is destroyed, then the Antichrist becomes the ruler of the whole world. Then he takes over the master computers. Then he takes full control over all the information on every individual human being on the face of the earth. Then he decides who eats, who doesn't eat, who works, who doesn't work, who lives, who dies. It's all at his fingertips. And all he has to do is punch it into the keyboard, and it's executed. This man is the little horn in Daniel 7:8. He is also the abomination in Daniel 12:11. Daniel 12:11 says, "And from that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." This abomination referred to here that makes desolation is again the Antichrist. This same thing is referred to in Matthew 24:15, where Jesus speaks about this reference of Daniel to the abomination. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, you had the beast out of the sea. That's the same person, again, the Antichrist. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, you had the reference to the man of sin. Same dude again. So he comes up in a variety of descriptions. The little horn in Daniel 7:8, the abomination in Daniel 12:11, and then referred to by the Lord in Matthew 24:15, the beast out of the sea in Revelation 13:1, the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. The 70th week does not begin until there is a treaty made with the Jewish nation, and that treaty is still in the future today. Daniel 9:27 says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease." This statement indicates to us that this Antichrist ruler, descended from the Roman Empire, is going to make agreement, a deal, a covenant with the Jewish nation. He obviously will agree to be their protector. And he keeps his word for 3.5 years, and then he double-crosses them. Because at the end of 3.5 years, Russia is out of the picture. He has a power vacuum that he can now fill. He becomes the ruler of the whole world, and he turns against the Jew. Then begins the period that Jesus described as the Great Tribulation. So the rejection of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple and the dispersion of the Jews, all of these things have to take place before this 70th week begins. The Hebrew language itself indicates to us that Daniel 9:27 is subsequent to verse 26. And that's just the way the language uses the word "and," so that we know that when verse 26 ends, verse 27 begins with this Hebrew word "and." It's an "and" that indicates that it's after what took place in verse 26. So the evidence is very strong. The events of 9:26 take place in a period of time between the 69th and 70th week. That's when Jerusalem and the sanctuary were destroyed, in that year of 70 AD. And that's the time that God's program of 490 years was brought to an end. The gap has stretched now for almost a period of 2,000 years. How much longer, we don't know. That is yet before us. So summarizing the segment this morning so that you have some clear ideas. 69 years of weeks completed during the lifetime of the Messiah and before his crucifixion. Daniel 9:25 indicates that the 69 weeks ends with the Messiah, the Prince, or the Anointed One, the Ruler. This is the terminal point. It's his official name relative to the Jewish people. It sums up all that he is to them. Those 69 weeks end with the presentation of Jesus Christ as the Messiah King on that triumphal entry, and they rejected him. And Daniel 9:26 says that he is then cut off and he is removed from that which should have been his proper authority. The two events are after the 62 weeks. The 7 week segment, rebuilding the temple, 62 week segment, taking us to Palm Sunday, 483 years. The Messiah is rejected by the Jewish nation. The 69th week ends, and in time, Jerusalem and the temple destroyed. The death of the Messiah and the destruction of the Jerusalem and of the temple precede the arrival of the Prince that shall come, that is the Antichrist. All this takes place before the Antichrist arrives. He doesn't arrive until the time of the 70th week. One more thing, very quickly. Just to be sure that you understand that there is such a period as 7 years, one of the things that Christians often do is we say, yes, there is this period, we talk about it, and then when somebody challenges us, we have a hard time thinking through, where did we ever get that out of the Bible? One of the most impressive things to a person who rejects the literal interpretation of prophecy is to be led through all the verses that deal with this 7 year period. Very quickly, here we go. It is not just an isolated text. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, describing the Antichrist, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, describing the Jews, and think to change the times and the laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. Time, 1 year. Times, 2 years. A half time, a half year. That's the Jewish way of talking about time. That's what the Hebrew text means. A time, times, and a half times is 3 1/2 years. Bingo, you got the magic number. This character is going to be put in supreme authority for 3 1/2 years over the Jewish people. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week of years. 1 week of years. 1 week of years is 7 years. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. The midst of the week would be 3 1/2 years. You got the magic numbers again. A period of 7 years when this superior personality on the earth scene will be dealing with the Jewish people. And in the middle of that 7 year period, at the end of 3 1/2 years, he's going to do something big to them. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And then drop down to verses 6 and 7. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? That is when his people shall be delivered. And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven and swore by him who liveth forever that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished the breaking up of the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So here the one giving Daniel the information raises his hands in an oath to God and again uses the same expression, time, times and a half times. 3 1/2 years, Daniel, that's how long you're going to suffer. Daniel 12:11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, the middle of the trib, and the abomination make a desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. 1,290 days would be from the time that he double-crossed them to the end. Now you got to divide this by 360 prophetic days, prophetic year of 360 days. That's 3 1/2 years plus 30 days. There's the first clue to us that after the tribulation is over, the earth is so devastated in such absolute destruction that there's a period of time while things are getting cleaned up, humanity is being reorganized, things are being brought under control before the millennial kingdom officially begins. Interesting. 30 days there indicated. Daniel chapter 12:12. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Here you've got a period of 1,335 days. What is that? A 3 1/2 prophetic years plus 75 days. And here the period is expanded. Daniel's given the clue that it's going to even take more than those 30 days to get things reorganized on this earth after what is going to happen to the human race and to the material world. In Jeremiah chapter 30, Jeremiah 30, verses 4 through 7, we read, "And these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and of peace. Ask now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." The term, the time of Jacob's trouble, is a term that refers to what Jesus in Matthew 24:21 called the Great Tribulation. It's the same thing. And it is the time of the Jews' most intense suffering. It's the last 3.5 years. In Matthew 24:15 and in Mark 13:14, Jesus refers to the abomination of desolation, which was predicted by Daniel, this same 7-year period. Revelation 11:2, coming into the New Testament, also anchors itself to this same concept of 7 years, divided into 2 segments of 3.5 years. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. "And I will give power unto my 2 witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." These 2 witnesses are going to prophesy 1,260 days. That is 3.5 years. This is probably resurrected Moses and Elijah. Moses, who went into God's presence through death. Elijah, who went into God's presence without dying, representing the 2 ways that the saints of God have come into His presence. And these 2 gentlemen are going to be on the scene for 3.5 years with full television coverage, preaching. They can't keep them off the air, proclaiming the judgment against the Antichrist, who is enraged against them. And no matter what they do, they can't kill these 2 people until God permits them to die. But they are going to have this 3.5 year period. What are they doing? It's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. There we have it again. Revelation 12:6. "And the woman fled into the wilderness." This woman represents Israel, where she hath a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260, another 1,260. And again, you have 3.5 years. It's the latter part of the tribulation period, when the Jews are under the gun of the Antichrist. They will be fleeing to the wilderness, perhaps back to Petra, as a place that they can defend. Hard to get into the place. Isolated. A place where they can have security. Revelation 12:14. "And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, unto her place," wherever that is, "where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the face of the serpent," that is from Satan. There you have the expression, time, times and a half times. 3.5 years. One more. Revelation 13:5-7. "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies," the Antichrist. "And power was given unto him 42 months. 42 months equals 3.5 years. "And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." This is why we know the Antichrist will be a world ruler at this point. Over all tongues, over all kings, over all nations. It's the last part of the tribulation. So here's this trib period. 7 years, divided into 2 segments of 3.5. And if you think that's an isolated statement in Scripture, I hope you will see now that we have hit several Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, which are anchored to a special 7-year period of God's dealing with Israel. It is Daniel who makes clear to us what that period means. Now, next time, we come to the climactic part. We look into Daniel 9:27, which describes for us the 70th week and the things that are going to take place in that period.